So it's, I think, you know, a worthwhile focus for now. So again, let's talk about Mumer LeTeyavon and L'Hachas, finish them up, and then we can move on to the others. So with regard to Mumar, again, LeTeyavon, which will, again, all these things are interconnected, so we're going to have to, you know, keep adding just a little bit. But the, in terms of the, you know, the basic ideas, so we've seen basically that there's this range of perspectives, and, you know, again, the bigger question being whether or not to Mumer LeTeyavon, again, we see in the narrowest way, in terms of, you know, the, you know, Yitro Tokfo idea, etc., but not really kind of therefore impacting on the, you know, status of Rishis Agabra, and so on, or, again, the other point of view, which is that, you know, the fact that your level of commitment, let's say, is not intense enough that you can manage, you know, the Yitro Tokfo, you know, reveals like a very deep, you know, profound even, you know, spiritual deficiency or flaw, right, in your whole outlook. Because, again, it is obviously the interplay between these two forces, you know, your hedonistic appetite on the one hand, and, you know, the way that you define yourself, you know, your halachic reality, if you will, or your level of commitment, you know, on the other. So given that that is kind of the, you know, the choice, you know, Mashal Amad Dover Doma, somebody once told me this a long time ago, you know, I always mention this a little bit in connection with the Ibn Ezra of Los Achmon in the Parsha that we just read, you know, that where the Ibn Ezra basically explains that it is true that the Torah can legislate in the area of emotions because it all, you know, revolves around, you know, how you define yourself and how you, you know, perceive priorities, you know, in your life that are, you know, really core and essential, you know, to who and what you are. And that's why the Ibn Ezra says that, you know, if a person should be looking at Dine Torah, you know, in the same way that people relate to, you know, reality in their lifetime. So people don't have the, you know, Yetzirah to jump out the window, you know, and fly because they know that, you know, typically man, you know, doesn't have that capacity. And a serf doesn't really, you know, is not really challenged, you know, in terms of his aspiration to marry the princess, you know, Disney notwithstanding, but because, you know, the reality of the caste system is that, you know, that's unattainable, you know, for him. And while people are drawn to the unattainable, but, you know, there's the, you know, the reasonable unattainable or the attainable unattainable and the, you know, unattainable unattainable. So that's basically the idea of the Ibn Ezra, a very powerful idea. We talked about it a lot. We talked about it earlier in the year when we talked about, right, Machshavos and Masim and so on and so forth, and certainly the view of the Chinuch and others. So, again, a good mashal that somebody once told me, it's a little bit dated, I guess, is, you know, there are people who have a craving to smoke, but hopefully, you know, Bizman, although, again, you know, this cynical, you know, certain cynical, you know, industries have kind of revived it for a while. In you know, civilized society, they had you know, been down, you know, that they've been driving down, you know, the impact of smoking. Then through this, I don't want to get into it, whatever. But whatever it is, people who have that addiction, right? It's very, very hard for them to control it, right? But halachically oriented Jews, you know, never had a problem not smoking on Shabbos. Like the whole debate about, whole discussion about Yom Tov in terms of, you know, what constitutes Hana Shava L'Kol, you know, Shava L'Kol Nefesh. And, you know, again, back in the days before the Surgeon General, people thought, you know, that smoking was either neutral or even beneficial. But at the end of the day, like you see, used to, I remember when I was growing up, again, you just didn't see this for like 30 years or so because there was really a campaign in Western countries, you know, to warn people about the dangers of cigarette smoking. But before that, like, it was very typical to hear, to see on Yom Tov, you know, was people smoking, you know, in shul. And again, not for the last 30 years, I haven't seen it. Or used to go to yeshivas, and I don't know how it is now, but yeshivas used to be like, you know, secondhand smoke was like really dangerous thing. But what was fascinating was that on Shabbos, no one ever had that problem. I'm not saying people weren't challenged, but no Shomer Shabbos, you know, couldn't handle that. And that's because the reality of the commitment and the awareness that, you know, this is, you know, absolutely prohibited on Shabbos, you know, just made it, you know, unattainable or, you know, something which, you know, definitionally, you know, is not even tempting. Why am I telling you all this? So, again, this goes to the heart of what we're talking about in Mumar, you know, the two perspectives on Mumar L'Tayavam. Meaning, to the extent that, you know, one, you know, really is totally committed, you know, and that's how he, you know, he looks in the mirror and that's what he sees and that's what's important in his life, you know, Batel Ritzon Chal Ritzono, and living a life of Torah Mitzvos. So, from that point of view, I'm not saying that, you know, L'Tayavam isn't a challenge, but it's a challenge that is, you know, that is, you know, attainable. And on contrary, the more you feel that way, you know, the more shocking and unacceptable, right, is a breach. Also, the more unlikely, which is, you know, usually those things go hand in hand. So if you live in a world in which it's inconceivable, this is what's important, you know, then to violate a Mumar L'Tayavam is still an act of merit, etc. And that's really what we have been discussing. So it's interesting to note several just supplementary points that some of the later poskim suggest, you know, that the din in our Gemara, which is Nifsak in the Rambam and Yoredeya, of course, which is that a Mumar L'Tayavam, you know, Bodek Sakino Venosein Lo, and that he can be a shochet l'chatchila. So at some point, some of the poskim thought that bizmanenu or bizmanam, that no longer applied. It's a din in the Gemara and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. The Berhitev quotes us in the Yoredeya Simen Beis, and again in Aruch Chaim Simen Tuf Mem Ches Siv Katan Yud Aleph. And there the Chok Yaakov, I think he quotes the Chok Yaakov there in Aruch Chaim. And they base it on the Ramah in, later on in, I think, Simen Kufnun Tes. You know, that Bizmanenu, you know, even a Mumar L'Tayavam, we're no longer going to rely on him for Shkita. And I think that the idea is that, you know, even though, you know, Al Pidin, you know, Mumar L'Tayavam is not Mufka or is not a, you know, a Rasha, and therefore Lo Shava Keter of Yachal Isura, but that, you know, at a certain point, you know, it's so kashrus, and these things are so ingrained in the psyche of the Jewish people, halavai, right, that the excuse for Mumar L'Tayavam is no longer applicable. It's similar to what we were saying about the Tosa Rosh, namely Tosa Rosh and Horios, right, who's bothered by Yayin Nesach. Well, Yayin Nesach, he says, you know, tastes good, unlike the, you know, the Shkatzim and the Ramasim of the, which seem to be a din of Min, or a din of Lahachis, right? So the Tosa Rosh, I mentioned this already, and Horios says that, you know, Yayin Nesach shiny, because the level of merit, or, you know, that is entailed in a person eating Yayin Nesach, is such that even when he does it with Tayavon, right, it's the equivalent of, you know, of that kind of merit. Do I have the language somewhere? And what I was trying to suggest was that he's not necessarily, doesn't sound to me like he's saying, well, Yayin Nesach, you know, it's an abizrayu or an actual avodah zara, so it's just a din in mumar l'avodah zara, you know, because of the chumra sa'aveira. It could be that this overlaps with another perspective in avodah zara, and that is it's always merit. But the way that he formulates it And it sounds like it's not even that. And this is what he says. Did I make it up? That's a rhetorical question. Miu yain nesach ikal ukma biyain shin esnasech lavaris kochavim. V'la mishum de'en aguf ta'ev lo. Ela kiven de pokar kuli hai lishtos yain shin esnasech lavaris kochavim. He doesn't say it's avodah zara that comes under that rubric. Right? It's pokar kol kach that the te'avon doesn't help. So I think what those poskim were saying was that in our time, you know, people's perspective on kashrus is such, you know, that the excuse of mumar l'teyavon, right, constitutes the equivalent, I'm saying this, of the Tosas HaRosh's exception of Yayin Nesach. And in a way, you know, that's the parallel opposite of the expansion of Tinok Shenishba. Right, which we've also made reference to, that the Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger in the Binyan Sion and the Chazon Ish, this is a whole, again, topic I still want to get back to if I can, and that is, you know, the expansion of Tinok Shenishba. That, you know, classic Tinok Shenishba is somebody who doesn't know, who's ignorant, right? And I guess the next level, you know, somebody who may intellectually know, but he's, you know, he's in an environment where, you know, that knowledge is of limited significance, you know, in terms of, you know, practicing, you know, and committed Jews. And what they're saying was that, you know, Bizmanenu, we've expanded that significantly. Not as an excuse, but as a, you know, as a an evaluation, you know, of what it means to be, you know, Morei. And like when you live in a society, you know, even if you have access to knowledge, and you may even actually just plain know in addition to have access to knowledge, and even if you are familiar with observant Jews, but if the entire, you know, direction of society, if the entire culture is just permeated, you know, with messages that are, you know, incompatible with all of this, then that might be an expansive view of Tinok Shenishba. In a way, it's a tale of two Bizmanenus, right? Now, these are parallel opposites. And I think that, you know, the later, these poskim that I'm talking about before, live in a time where, you know, the, you know, Jewish community was, of course, you know, a traditional community, as it all was until 200 X amount of years ago. Every Jewish community was that. And, you know, kashrus became so ingrained, you know, and so basic and so core, you know, that l'teyavon is still a merit, and therefore, you know, there's still no, certainly l'chatchila of bodek sakin benosel, somebody who's capable of chilas nevelos b'teyavon, you know, somebody who's mufka. That's a very startling statement, but understandably. And then when you live in a society where even when people, you know, have access to knowledge, you know, but, you know, the in terms of their own reality, again, even the Chazon Ish and even the Binyan Sion will tell you that not everybody's a Tinok Shenishba. You know, but it's an expansion, but it's an expansion which is based on, in this case, a sad reality. You know, the Ber Hetev, Chok Yaakov, based on the Ramah, that expansion is based on, actually, a positive development in the Jewish community. But in light of the Tosa Rush and everything else, this becomes important. And again, it highlights in a very cute way, you know, the bigger question that we're discussing, and that is, you know, the range of views, whether, you know, fundamentally, you know, L'teyavon is a Rasha, or fundamentally he's not a Rasha. And now we're suggesting that maybe Bizmanenu, you know, the Zmanim make a difference, and maybe the particular Isur, even if you take it away from Avodah Zarah, you know, Shabbos, you know, or Kol HaTorah, etc., maybe that also matters in the scale of figuring this out. But again, I think it highlights All of that. Having said that, a couple of other points very quickly, and that is, again, going back to the in-between cases, between Lahachis and Luteyavo. We talked about, you know, there being different views in Rishonim, you know, about somebody who doesn't do it Lahachis, but he doesn't also only do it, you know, when, you know, when he's tempted, you know, when his temptation, you know, gets the best of him. You know, somebody in a more neutral area, I mean, he's, you know, indifferent, basically, you know, but he's not a principal Davarian, you know, but he's also not a Yitzro Tokvo person. And what that is, you know, is that Litayavon, or is that Lahachis, or is that something in between and how we handle that in between? That was the discussion that we had. The Rambam, the Kesef Mishnah, the Ra'ah, right, the Ran, Rabbeinu Yerucham, etc. That's really very crucial. We'll see another, you know, the Ritva and Avodah Zarah. But just to point out that that question is both a question about Litayavon and Lahachis. It's a Lahachis question, as we discussed already, that middle case, but it's also very much a Litayavon question. The more you think, you know, that the point of Litayavon, you know, is Yitzhar Tokvo, you don't have that. Especially if you're more, you take the more Makel side to Litayavon, it's going to be very hard to say that about that neutral case. Again, if you're more Machmir Litayavon, you know, then you might include that middle case, because basically you're saying that it's not an excuse. Either way, the main thing is he's just not a Lahachis. So this one isn't a Lahachis either. The Litayavon part may be mostly beside the point. Of course, there is the other Shita, and that's the Ran here, which is that it's not either Teyavon or Lahachis, but that it really is an in-between, and that we are Mechalik between, you know, different applications. Okay, so that's the second point. Also, just kind of connected to that, to both, I mean, what's Lahachis and what's Teyavon? Again, the case in the Gemara in Horios and Avodah Zarah, the Parosh case. So what is that? I mentioned the other day that you know, whole phenomenon, you know, is a very challenging, because we're talking about a situation of, you know, there's no actual Litayavon. The Litayavon, you know, is to violate. So just to, number one, I threw out a bunch of, you know, things, but just to document it a little bit more, Rashi in Horios, I think, actually seems to say that the attraction is the Isur itself. Is that correct? Am I getting my Rashis mixed up? Ochal Parosh Yitush, Areza Mumar, Hochvadi Lahachis Kavod, Alav Midi de Bar Mechal. Then the Gemara answers, "All the Memalach Lahachis Tzeduki, Behoch Hainu Tama de Ava Mumar, Velo Ava Tzeduki, the Kumar Beina Lemitam Tama de Isura, Shataev Litom Dvar Isur." The lolahach is ka'avin. Okay, so basically Rashi says the attraction is, you know, the fact that it is forbidden. And the Meiri in Avodah Zarah and in Horios quotes this as a line in the Yerushalmi. Did I write it down? Quotes it as a line in the Yerushalmi. Eina yetzer ta'ev ela lamasha asur lo. Okay, we've all encountered, you know, that concept, you know, we hear about that all the time. You know, people want what they can't have. Of course, wanting what you can't have, or what's unattainable, right, but not spectacularly unattainable, like we were talking about before, doesn't necessarily mean wanting what's awesome. Right? That's a form, that's a higher form, you know, of what you can't have. Okay, so that is one. Now, the idea that having, you know, this desire to have what is usur, you know, per se, that's not lahachis, that's a teyavon, is fascinating, right? Because you might say, well, that gufa is lahachis, or at least that it's certainly not, you know, a legitimate, you know, teyavon. Okay, so it's interesting that the Tosas HaRosh,
has a slightly different formulation of it, and he emphasizes something that you've never experienced as opposed to something that per se is usur. He even says, the afilu hu usur. I don't know if anybody else notices this, but wait 1 second. Very small letters. Here. Can I make that up too? It's on the board?
Yeah.
Go ahead now. Did you say it? Yeah. He wants to experience all of life. So here it's a filud dvar yisur. That's a little more palatable, both in terms of not being lahachis, you know, even as well as being with Teyab. But again, it reminds me, I'm just going to throw it out, a little bit, I mean, this the Kiddush in this, I guess, a little bit reminds me of the parallel opposite. You know, the Gemara has in a bunch of places, Rosh Hashanah, and, you know, a few other places, you know, when it talks about, you know, doing mitzvos, you know, lishma. So, you know, who's a tzaddik gomor? You know, the guy says, you know, Amanas she'echya, you know, bini, or, you know, she'ezke, you know, with this or with that, you know, that's considered olishma. And, you know, he's not a tzaddik gomor. He might be a tzaddik, but he's not a tzaddik gomor. Right. So one of the things is, Amanas she'ezke, I always thought it was very intriguing. You know, one of the things on the list is, Amanas she'ezke l'chaye olam haba. And some of the Mefarshim, you know, dispute whether or not that is really appropriately on the list. Okay, why? Because in a certain way, right, if your, you know, purpose and your goal, you know, is she'ezke l'chaye olam haba, you know, that already speaks of a certain kind of orientation. You know, reflect somebody who has a certain level of emuna, you know, a certain, again, you know, immersion into, you know, the sensibility and the mentality, you know, of being an Oved Hashem. He's not saying, you know, so I could have a, you know, more, you know, meat on my plate or greater kavod or more sovereignty over other people. He's, you know, his goal is, you know, today, Lihonos, you know, Miziv Ashkina, you know, Vyatroseim, you know, Birasheim. So that's Shalom Lishma. So that's an interesting question, meaning, how do we define, what I'm trying to say is that here, you know, you have almost like the parallel opposite of that, and that is not so much for the Tosa Rush, you know, but for the other, sort of like, oh, you know, I have the taste, you know, I have the appetite to be toim, you know, dvar iser. You know, but what does that mean, you know, in terms of... So I think these are parallel questions that need to be looked at. Okay. To finish off or to round off our discussion of Lotei Avon for now, just to make a couple of quick points. We're going to get back to the Magen Avraham later, but I mentioned that Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, Divrei Maskil Sami Mikan, that he seems to say, Yoni, what does he seem to say? Tosfos Avodah Zarah? Something very not obvious. Something quite important.
Specifically,
by, it seems like L'Teyavon, Kiddushu L'Teyavon, that Mumma L'Teyavon, even though Ein Moridin, right, and Mishivin Lo Esavei Daso, and therefore we're going to take it off the list of that Gemara, right? But nonetheless, he does have what?
Daniel?
He is included with meeting and sort of other issues.
Who are going to, not go to Olam Haba.
Right.
You're talking about Ezekiel Lechai Olam Haba. And?
For Sefer Torah.
And for Sefer Torah, presumably, the Sefer Torah Shekasav Mumer L'Tayavon, right, would be Nisraf. That he's a min legabe that. Right? So that's a very big chiddush. And it's certainly a very hard-line view on L'Tayavo. Correct? So just you should be aware that, number one, that became, very controversial, in part of the Halacha L'Maisa discussion of Sefer Torah Shekasav. I'm sorry, Sefer Torah Shenichtav Vayidei Umar L'Tayavo. Right, so the Magen Avraham in Siman Lamed Tes Sif Katan Gimel has a whole discussion about what it means when the Gemara says Min Shekasav Sefer, who's a Min, etc. And in the end of the piece, what is it, Sif Katan Gimel, right? He quotes this Tosas to say that according to Tosas, a Mumer L'Tayavon is possible to write a Sefer Torah. One second. He also has many other things that he says, which I'm going to get back to. Simon Lamites, Sif Katan Nicole. All right. Gibble? Yeah. The whole thing is about this issue. And then he says, Ubitosis Sham, Divra Maskal Sami Mika, and Mashmada Fila Tayabon Pasal Xiva Sefer Torah. And this is an issue that was discussed very extensively by by Rabbi Kideger, right in Tshuva that he wrote, and sometimes published in his Chidushim Tavar Zara, where he was discussed the following, Lemaisa, the same case, but the case is you had a sofer, and he sold tefillin, and then they found out that he wasn't putting any of the parshios in the tefillin. Somebody did the bedika, right? So meanwhile, after the time that it was determined that he was selling tefillin without parshios, right, he also wrote a couple of Sefer Torah. Right? So they were trying to figure out, or between, one and the other, so trying to figure out, so what's the status of the Sefer Torah? Now again, the Sefer Torah, he didn't write it with invisible ink, so it's all there, but we're not sure, whether his previous crimes disqualifies them as a sofer for a Sefer Torah or not. Fascinating case, right? So Rabbi Kivagar says, well, listen, he didn't put in the parshios because he's not a mumer l'hakas. He just, they cost money. So he's not an admirable man, but he's a mumer l'tayavo, and he did it for, financial gain. Question is a mumer l'tayavo, mufka from Ksivas Sefer Torah or not? So then he goes ahead, again, hopefully we'll get a chance to get back to that because he has some interesting paros. He goes ahead and, he quotes this Magen Avraham, the one in Siman Lamed Tes. And part of his discussion is, do we have to be choshesh for this tosis that Mumer L'Tayavon is a min legabe ksiva Sefer Torah. Right. And at one point he points out that some of the achronim think that tosis doesn't mean it. And then when Tosa says what they say, they mean Mumer L'Hachis, even if he's a Mumer, but not Mumer L'Tayavo. But the truth is that the Pashtus of Tosa, because Tosa says Sami Mikan, we do have Mumer L'Hachis, and we don't have, again. I guess the only way you could really read Tosa that way would be if you took another stand, something which we discussed the other day, and which we're going to get back to in a second, about how to read the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, but that stand would actually be against the next Tosas on the page. Okay, so just to be aware that what Tosas says in Avodah Zarah was picked up and in Halacha L'Maisa circles, it became a cause celeb in terms of the question Halacha L'Maisa, whether or not Mumer L'Tayavon is a min legabe Sefer Torah. You burn the Sefer Torah. That's a very Very shocking, shocking idea. Okay. And then finally, to mention a couple of other things about Mamre Tiavon and then to move on, the I mentioned the Meiri in Avodah Zarah and in Horios has a Deya that even though we don't say Moridin Velo Malin when it comes to a Mamre Tiavon, right, but that we do perhaps say, you know, Lo Malin Velo Moridin for Mamre Tiavon. So again, I just wanted to check out that that was something. He quotes it in both places. He personally rejects it, but he quotes it as a Yesh Omrin. So again, that's on the extreme side, as is the Tosas, on the extreme side of Mumar L'Teyavon, to say that it's Lo Malin V'Lo Maridin. On the other side, I guess on the liberal side, is the Netziv, in Rome Sada in Horios, and he makes reference to his larger discussion on the Shiltos in Simen Yud. You know, he quotes the Bahag had a slightly different girsa in our Gemara, and the way that the Netziv analyzes it, you know, it turns out to be very consequential for both Mumla Teyavon and Mumla Hachis. So on the Mumla Teyavon side, the way it comes out is, at least in his analysis, is that you don't need a gili milsa, a limud, to teach you that a mumla teyavon that you're chayev lahashiv avedasa. Again, one of the ways I was trying to build up the case for mumla teyavon being a gabar rasha, in addition to all the other things, right, was ilav the gili milsa, you wouldn't have to return as aveda, right? And we point out that Tosas goes even further and says that even with the gili milsa, you know, maybe you can say Moridin despite it, and it's just a din, you know, in his children. Wow. Okay. Right? Right. Oh. So, you know, with respect to that issue, the way that the Netziv understands the Bahag is that there is no need for ribui at all. I mean, it's obvious that a Mamre Tiavon Meshiva Nabudasa. And if anything, it might be that Mumar Lahachis, you know, we need Exeris HaKasav, but that may be actually Meshiva Nabudasa. So we'll get back to the Lahachis part of it soon. So again, these are just, again, different perspectives, you know, on the range of views, and especially on the biggest question, namely whether Mumar Lahachis is fundamentally a Mumar or not. Okay, that's in terms of Mumar L'Teyavon. Now, let's finish up our discussion of Mumar L'Hachis. So there again we saw the range of views, whether Mumar L'Hachis is really, you know, again, you know, obviously he's a Rasha, there's no question about that. He's not a victim of Yetzer Hara, but whether or not we consider him to be, you know, how terrible we consider him to be and whether he's really like a min, you know, whether, or again, it's a more limited and a more, you know, compartmentalized, you know, kind of a pagam that we have already seen, we witnessed in terms of shechita, in terms of other issues, you know, a range of different views and then the different types of mumar l'hachis and so on. I just want to supplement that with a couple of additional shitos against to fill in the range. Number one, with regard to the Shaklavataria in Avodah Zarah, going back to the, you know, debate in the Gemara whether Mumar L'Hachis is a min or a mumar. So one of the things we were trying to say was that, you know, the simple pshat in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is that it's a linguistic debate, and certainly that is the view of Tosas. Right? Tosas says explicitly, at least with regard to the issues on the page in Masechet Avodah Zarah, right, that in the end of the day, whether you call him min or you call him mumar, right, moridin, right, ve'ein meshivin avedasa. At least with regard to the Gemara Avodah Zarah, it's just a question of, you know, the language. Okay. Unless it's some other nafkamina, which, you know, Tosas doesn't tell us about. On the other hand,
I was suggesting that there is a way to read the Gemara, and that is that when the Gemara says, why don't you make the distinction between Lahaches and Latayabon, and then the Gemara says, Sami Mikan, it's Min, they weren't just saying that linguistically, you know, it's just not called that. What they were saying was, well, if it was a Mummer, you know, then the Nafkamina wouldn't hold. It is the Nafkamina, but only because it's a Min. So Rashi does sound a little like that in the Sugya of Anazara, and that is something that is brought out by the Maram. If you look at the Maram, somebody can get that open for a second, in Al-Attar, in Avodazara, he suggests that that is a machlokes, Rashi and Tosis. In other words, that while Tosis holds that whether Lahakas is min or mum, or either way, it's moridin v'lo malin, that Rashi really holds the maskana. Anybody have that? Here on Chaf Vavmid Beis. That's what I was suggesting is another way to read the Gemara. Wait a second. Yeah. Near the Dafka Gabe Horoda, Rupeka Shalek, Sefer Torah Shekasu Min, Umumar, Alid Rabbi Yochanan, Tzachlomer, Da Mumar, Da Hasam, Avala Tayava. Avalach, am I reading the right thing? Avala Gabe Horoda, E. Efshar, Umar Shach, Yavam, Mumar, Kachav, no, that's the wrong one. One second. Anybody finding it? I don't know why I'm having so much trouble finding everything today. I think there's another on my side. Unless it's somebody over here. I'm not finding it. Anybody have it? Seeing it? He suggests it's Machlokas, Rashi, and Tosis. Unless I'm... Okay, I'm not finding it. But I'll look for it to find it. Anyways, aside from that, this is a view, this is a suggestion for Rashi. It's also the Adeya and the Meiri in Horios and in Avodah Zarah. Again, the Miri himself doesn't subscribe to it, but he quotes this as a deya, that if you hold that mumar lahachis is a mumar and not a min, that there'll be no moridin v'lomalin. The way that the Bahag's nusach works, according to the Netziv, that ends up being a machlokas as well. That the debate about min or mumar dictates whether moridin, except that in the Bahag nusach approach, it's even more spectacular. You know, it's not just that if you hold mumar, not min, you know, that the nafkamina is maridin. He thinks that the nafkamina also is a shavas habega. Now, it's even the Maram and Rashi and the Dei and the Meiri think that if you hold mumar lahachis is a mumar, not a min, so there's no maridin, but they still think that there's no a shavas habega. The way the Bahag Nusach goes, at least as the Netziv understands it, if you hold Mumar, then there is no Moridin, right? And there is a Chiyuv HaShavas Aveda even to a Mumar Lahachas. Okay, so that would be a very, very big, that would be a very big Kula. That idea, right, is something that... is something that also appears in another Rishon. Anybody see? Yeah?
The Piskerit.
The Piskerit, correct.
And the Riyaz also quotes it in Avodah Zarah. Namely?
According to the Shita of Mumar and the
Mumar. That the nafkamina between Mumar and Min
is
Hashavas Aveda and Morid. So again, this Nusach of the Bahag, you know, and the Meiri, I guess, are the biggest Mekilim. I'm sorry, Meiri. And the Tosis Rid, Riyaz, are the biggest Mekilim when it comes to Mumar Bahag. So you have Shitos at Ibn Mumar Lete'avon, right? At least would be, if not Moridin, you know, Lomala Velo Moridin. And then on the opposite spectrum, you have, you know, this Bahag and this Tosis Rid, that there's even a Shavas Aveda, you know, to a Mumar Lahakas. In between, there are, of course, other views. So the Ra'ah in Avodah Zarah, you saw it? The Ra'ah in Avodah Zarah, the Ran in Avodah Zarah, suggests what's the difference between whether Min or Mumar in Lahakas? The Ran, the Ra'ah, also the Meiri, others, Ritva. Now, my nafkamina?
It's a Shar Averot, the half is a Shar.
Particularly?
For
Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah, correct. So again, this whole question, again, Gemara says in Gittin that Sefer Torah, Shekas of Min, is Isari. Right, we just saw that the Bali Tosis think, Pashtus and Tosis, and that's what the Magen Avraham and Rabbi Kivega are discussing, is that that applies even to Mumar L'Teyavon. Right? I thought, by the way, I think I mentioned, and I'm not the only one, although it's definitely a minority view, that that may also be the Pshat of the Rambam. That the Rambam Nichos Tefillin, who just says Mumar, right, and generally when he stomps says Mumar, you know, he means Bein L'Teyavon and Bein L'Hachis, if you assume that, that the Rambam also holds that way, possibly. It's not, the Nosei Kelim, most of them, do not hold that way. They say Mumar L'Avodah Zarah, they say Mumar L'Kol HaTorah Kula, right? They don't even say Mumar L'Hachis. Okay. But anyways, there's a whole group of Chachmei Sfarad, the Ra'ah, the Ran, the Ritva, some of the Chachmei Provence, the Meiri, who say that the difference between Min and Mumar in Lahachis is Sefer Torah. That's very important. We already discussed whether the also may also be the Nafkamino Legarbe Videla, but that we discussed already. Right? Is Tosis's view only according to the Mandamar Min, or even according to the Mandamar Mumar? The Ritva's view that even according to the Mandamar Min, it's not Nevela. That whole discussion that we had, the Rajba's two deos, right? The second day of being that it depends on Min and Mumar. Okay. So here I want to speak for a couple of minutes just about the Ritva. Ah, Daniel, looks like you're on top of it. So what's the Ritva in Avodah Zarah? Two things that he says that are important.
Should I read it?
You can read it if you want. Oh, okay. So number one, again, it's the Ritva holds like the Ra'ah in Bedek HaBayis. Correct? You're looking unsure.
Yeah, correct.
Why are you unsure?
I don't really remember.
The Ra'ah in Bedek HaBayis. Oh. I thought it was like unforgettable. Okay, so the Ra'ah in Bedek HaBayis says that the debate in the Gemara, whether or not, you know, Lahachis is a Min or a Mumar, is not a debate about a real Lahachis, correct? It's a debate about the in-between category. The person who's neither L'Teyavon nor Lahachis. The, you know, the soft Lahachis, if you want to call him that. Or the, you know, the more indifferent fellow. He doesn't care one way or another. Right? That is the view of the Ra'an Bedek HaBayis, and that is the view in the Ritva in Avodah Zarah. On a historical note, you know, this is further, you know, reinforcement and confirmation of, you know, I'm trying to get this out there in the world because I don't think people know about it. And that is, again, the tremendous, I mean, people know a little bit, but they don't know sufficiently about the tremendous impact of the Ra'ah, the Ritva. Right? The Ra'ah, the Ritva, the Sefer HaChinuch, you know, they have a very strong affinity. The Ritva was a Talmud of the Rajba and the Ra'ah, but he was more of a Talmud of the Ra'ah than the Rajba. Just that we don't have the Ra'ah, you know, Oliver Shas, the same way we have the Rajba, Oliver Shas. And therefore, you know, you can only really know this when he quotes his Rebbe or the Ra'ah specifically. When he quotes his Rebbe Stam, it's usually the Ra'ah. And where you have both the Ritva and the Ra'ah on topics, you can really see it. Again, it's really not well known, but it's, you know, you can see it in Chulin because we have Berak Abayis a lot. You can see it in Brachos because we have the Ra'ah and the Ritva. You can see it in Ksuvas, you can see it. Anyways, so this is another example. The Ra'ah says something, as we know, sensational about how to read the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and the Ritva picks up on it. But the Ritva does an additional service in the formulation that goes, you know, beyond what the Ra'ah says. Namely, the what you quoted before. No. That's a, we don't care about that. He says that it cannot be that there's a debate, you know, about Mumil Hachis, whether it's a Min or Mumar, because Ein Lecha Min Gadol Mizeh. Meaning it's a Svara. Okay? Now again, Ein Lecha Min Gadol Mizeh. No, I don't know. I mean, the Gemara itself says, you know, if he's not a Min, then who is a Min? Daniel? Says the Gemara. The Gemara says, well, if you hold that Al-Hachiz is a Mumar, then what's a Min? They say over to Avodah Zarah. Of course, number one, that should be a problem for the Ra'ah, and by extension for the Ritva. Why didn't the Gemara just say, you know, who's a Min? The real Lahachis, the hard Lahachis, not the soft, you know, Lahachis. Ah. But even just, you know, in terms of the idea itself, like if I, you know, we're doing profiles in sin, I guess, or in, you know, in sinful personalities. So, hi.
You guys called you too hot, so I'm just trying to fix it.
Oh, wow. Thank you. No, not disturbing. I was just trying to figure out, like, there's something intriguing about the room that we don't know. Like, that would be a great thing. Yeah. Wow, somebody called it in. You know, if you really, if you're into that kind of thing, I could, my office is also. Okay, but thank you. Right, so I mean, the Gemara says, like, you know, we have a candidate. So when the Ritva, by extension, the Ra'ah, and either way, the absence of that in the Gemara, you know, you know, in the profiles of sin, is it so clear that Ein Lecha Min Gadol Mizeh? Now, there's a trade-off between, I would say, the Rishus HaGavra in terms of the, you know, the merit part, right, as opposed to either the Chumra Suavera or the merit, right, that flows from the Chumra Suavera, right? So when the Ra'ah says, I mean, when the Ritva, by amplifying the Ra'ah, says what he says, it's a very significant statement. And again, it is the exact opposite of Micah? Nephew? He's there, right? Yeah. The exact opposite of, I mean, you could say a few things, but in terms of linguistically, looks like you want to say, no?
Ra'ah?
No, I don't think it's the exact opposite of the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah's kind of somewhere in between. Yeah?
The Rajba.
The Rajba. Excellent. In Chulin, right, who says, you know, the Mumil HaHachis is not, the Shechita's not going to be Nevela, because he's basically a kosher person. Right?
Yeah.
What?
Kosher B'Yevon.
Yeah, that's why it's kosher B'Yevon, and it's not in the Vela, because He's not, you know, Mufka Mikdushas Yisrael. He's not a Nin or an Ovid Avodah Zarah. Right? So the Ritva and Ra'ar exactly saying the opposite. Of course, again, also opposite in a way to the Rid that you just mentioned a minute ago, or that Bahad, namely, there's Ashavas HaVeda, right? So this is a very crucial Ritva. That's one Ritva. The other Ritva, you see, you saw it? There's an interesting line in the Ritva. The other one. Yeah? Yeah.
Oh.
So that's Tosas, correct?
Right.
Keep going. Now this is slow, this part's slow. Vanachon? Whoa. Okay, so what's that? Again, Tosas discusses it in terms of Mumar L'Teyavon, actually. You know, presumably, even the Ritva, even if he's a Ra'a person, who's pretty down on the Mumar L'Teyavon too, but he wouldn't, even the Ra'a would not say this, I'm assuming, about the Mumar L'Teyavon. But again, you have here a great, again, it complicates the hierarchy a little bit, you know, but it's fascinating, right? You have the relationship between, as Tosaf points out, when it comes to Masur, where there is a Shavas Aveda, because what about the next generation? So why aren't we saying that about Mumar, in this case, you know, Lahachis? And the answer is, because what? Yeah, but again, the quote? Yeah, I mean, it's pretty sharp, right? So again, it reminds you of, you know, in the Bible stories, you know, as we all, you know, read to us before we go to sleep, but it's in Bereishis, actually. Like Rashi. You know, about, what does it remind you of? Maybe it doesn't remind you of it. It's not fair to put my, like it's imposing my memories, you know, my childhood memories. Not childhood, I mean, Parshas HaShavua. Like, how toxic, you know, is the environment, you know, and therefore the offspring of Ovrei Aveira? Okay. We don't mean it's, you know, the spiritual DNA, but it's really more the environmental part. So that's part of the whole story of, you know, Eliezer, you know, and Avraham Avinu. All the Mefarshim have this whole discussion, you know, about, you know, almost like Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Like, why couldn't, you know, Avraham Avinu, you know, marry Yitzchak off to the, you know, daughter of Eliezer or his family, you know, instead he had to go all the way, you know, and deal with Lavan and you know, or Suel and the whole business. So they talk about the Mefarshim there, speak about, you know, different levels of spiritual toxicity and distinguish between individuals and, you know, the environment and more extensive, you know, damage. It's a similar parallel. But the bigger point I want to make is that this Ritva, again, is Lishitaso of adopting and amplifying the view of the Ra'a. Okay? Again, Masur ends up being, you know, a really bad guy, but there's nothing in his, he's not necessarily environmentally, you know, or family toxic. Interesting. Okay, so that is the Ritva. The other thing of the Ritva is that he holds, you know, again, the Nafkaminas of the Ra'a, but that's fine. Good. What about the Ran? Won't you look at the Ran for a second? What's the contribution of the Ran? Josh? The Ran and the Avodah Zarah? Yeah. I think. Oh, we have two Joshes. Yeah,
it says that he's
it's not like the Zebs who are. Yeah.
He says that he's passing that it's a myth and not a moment.
Yeah. So this is also very interesting, that the Ran and Avodah Zarah, both in the Chiddushim and in the Perush Al Arif, says that we paskin the Mum Lahachis is a min. Correct? Why is that interesting? Because he himself admits that we should paskin, all things being equal in terms of the Cholkin, we should paskin Lekula. Or we say Mumar. The Rajba paskins Lekula. The Rajba assumes that everybody paskins Lekula. Right? Right? The Rajba says, number one, you know, even the Man Damar says Min doesn't think Shechitas Nedela. And number two, even if he does, you know, we're good because we paskin that it's Mumar. We always, we're going to paskin Lekula. Correct? The Rid says, I paskin Lekula. I paskin that it's Mumar. Of course, for him, paskining Lekula, you know, practically means that you can honor the, you know, that. But you know, you can just certainly do a Shavas Aveda to the Mumalahachis, and there's certainly no Moridin. Okay? The Ran, on a Psak level, takes a hard line. And he suggests that that is the Pshat, that that's also the view of the Rif and of the Rambam. Rambam we'll talk about in just a second. Is it clear in the Rif that he really paskins that way? Eitan? In a Avodah Zarah, did you see? What?
I did not see
it. I didn't see it. Anybody see it? Eitan? What?
I did not see it, but I think
I hear. Asher? Didn't see it? Tani? Evan? No one wants to weigh Ellie? Moshe? Moshe?
I saw it. I don't think it's clear.
I don't think it's clear either. What does it say?
It just adds one line in the middle that the Shamina Mihaladir Kol Mumar Ophangel Sahapas Bokuri and Bela Kola Beta Sakhita. And then he seems to quote the Makotas, but he just adds that line.
Right. So it's shocking to me that the Ran in both places projects that the Rif paskins Min. Unless it's because, that would be interesting and ironic, that unless he thinks that that line proves it because that is part of the debate. Right. Which it very well might be. Now what about his comment about the Rambam? He also says the Rambam, right? Who mentioned the Rambam second ago? Who brought in the Ran that we're talking about? Josh? He also quotes the Rambam, right? Or is this as phantom as the Maram that they have fabricated? Somebody's going to find that Maram, right? Hopefully. Is it up above the board? Is it behind me even as we speak? It doesn't need to be. Anybody have the line? The nothing got it.
The one who runs that.
Yeah, he quotes it, right?
The
Ran mentions that the Rif and the Rambam hold that way. Yeah? Yeah. So, and does he say that there? Unlike the Rif, who I don't think says it, unless, again, you assume that he holds that otherwise there would be the Nafkamina of Moridim, it would be like we were saying, like the Maram for Rashi or the Bahag or the Tosis Rid or whatever. It would be important. The Rambam, you can see where he gets it from. Except that, you know, is it so simple? Zach, what do you think? I mean, the Rambam does say in Nichos Rotzeach Perek Daled Halachia Beis that Mum Lahachis is a min, and that Moridim, right? And he contrasts it with Mum L'Teyavon, which is subject to Hatzala, and that, you know, Matzilin Osa, correct? But it's still not so simple because he doesn't always call him a min. Does he, Zach? What, you haven't seen it? Even the Rambam that we've discussed, though. Ezra? Correct. I mean, he puts them together. Correct? Let's say, for example, in Maisa Karbonos and Shkagos, right, it's Bain, both of them. Bain Lahachis, Bain L'Tayavon, and they have the same din,
What's the din? That a mumar, bein lahachas, bein l'tayavon, la'oso davar is mufka. We still have to do the Mishnah Malach, by the way. The big one. La'oso davar is not brings a, does not bring a karban. Correct? Ezra? Right? But it sounds like, you know, the davar acher, he'd bring a karban. And what about a min? What about a mumil avodah zara? He's maybe karban ledvar. What? I'm talking about karban for the moment. Right? He doesn't bring karban at all. Right? So is it so simple? Who has a line in... go ahead. Nathan, you have it? No, Rotzeah. Okay, Rotzeah. Yeah, first get them both in. Yeah. Rotzeah, go ahead.
In Rotzeah, it says, Aminim mehem ovidav rezar in Yisrael, oh, ha'us ha'avir is l'hachas. Afi wa'ach on the veil of ha'shat me'is l'hachas har'iz ha'min. Yeah. Person, ha'in sh'kov v'tar v'gu ha'mi Yisrael mitzvah l'hachas.
Yeah. And then in the end, he has Bamedvar Mamur, and he...
Bamedvar Mamur, Mishra Ba'alir, Salmi Barisho, Shemba Tamir, Yon Aron, Behim Daka, Shepakar Begezel, and Holkim Be'Avlasan, Yisra Ba'alir, She'inu, Mi Barisho Tamir, Alu Sa'avir, Lahanayas Atzmo, Yon Ochon Vil, Sitiyavu, Mitzvah Hatzilo, Vasa Ba'alir Adam.
Right, so it's a little bit strange even, this, we noted this already, and that is if you think that Mumil Hachis, objectively, you know, is a min, so why do you need to... you know, why do you need to exclude Mumar L'Tayavon? You didn't mention Mumar at all before. It's just meaning, right? Correct? That's a curiosity, which I thought was consistent with the Rambam's expansive negative view of Mumar L'Tayavon. Right? But in Maisa Karbonos and Chicago's, right, there he's treating Mumar L'Hachis and Mumar L'Tayavon the same. Correct? I thought that was, he didn't have to paskin that way in Mumar L'Tayavon at all, frankly. I thought that was part of the L'Shitaso. But is there a contrast between even Mumar L'Hachis and Min, or not? You have it?
Yeah, one in Chicago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is he? He's clearly mechalek between. Yeah. Right, and the Mumar L'Hachis is and the Tayavon are together. That's the same in Maaser Karbanos as well, right? So it's there are obviously problems in the Rambam. And what's the Rambam's view about Mumar L'Hachis in Shechita? What's with Mumar L'Hachis in Shechita? Noach? No, you tell me. Well, you have a right to your ambiguity here. Could be for one of two reasons: either because you don't know, or because you know too much, or you've been working right. We're going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Meaning, it's hard to know. Right? Yeah, he only says mumar. Right? We know that he's about his chiddush about mumar davar echad mumala. But we also know we already discussed this, right? The Ramach has the comment where he said, well, what happened to Mumar L'Hachis? Right? And the Magen Mishnah said, why is he saying Mumar Stam? And he's not mefarad the difference between Mumar L'Hachis and Mumar L'Tayavon, correct? That's part of what we were discussing. Now, that goes in two directions. I thought, and then you have, again, Hilchos Tefillin, Perek Aleph, where he just says Mumar. Right, and as I said, most people think it's l'avodah zara because it doesn't even say min there, right? It says mumar. Really, should have said the Gemara says min.
It says min yisarei also.
What?
It says min yisarei.
It says
says Minya Sarif.
Oh, yeah, Minya Sarif and the other one, Yiganez. Right, so it's actually, it's not Min, it's Mumar. But which Mumar? Lahaches, Latayavon? Right? So what is that? So again, the Nosei Kelim, as I mentioned, the Nagi Mishnah, and then the Gra and others, they make it into a Avodah Zarah or call it Tara Kula. Right? So what about in Hilchos Tshuva? Targimel? Josh, you have it? Between? He makes a distinction between Mumar Lahachas and Mumar Teyavon, but does he call Mumar Teyavon, Mumar Lahachas a Min? Because he also distinguishes between. Yeah, go ahead, you have it there? It's Gimel Ches? Yes, go ahead. Who has it? Yeah. I'm sorry, Gimel Tes, yeah. What does he have? Yeah, never mind. So he basically, right, and Mumar Osa Davar Lahachis. So basically, he doesn't call Mumar Lahachis a min in Hilchos Tshuva. The Kesef Mishnah points it out, right? The Kesef Mishnah Hilchos Tshuva says, the Rambam paskins that a Mumar Lahachis. You have a line there in the Kesef Mishnah? It's coming. So we're putting you through your paces, more than understand that, the magnificent job that Arya's been doing all this year. It's like, not as simple as it looks. It's not like he has any advanced warning. It's all like whims and...
No collusion.
Right? There's no collusion. No collusion whatsoever. Masha Kotsu Vishiyasa Lahakis, Gamza Mebuar, Dumum Rechel Nebel Sotayavon, Dino Ki Yisrael. Perkem am nebuda pligi beravaka beravina, charem leteven mumalahachis, apikoras, a mumar. Sorry, lahachis apikoras haba, charem rafila lahachis nami mumar. Avlezo apikoras over the kachavim upligis beravaka beravina, kain lo lekula lekach pasak rabenu the lahachis have a mumar velo apikoras. What does the Kesef Mishnah say in Hilchos Rotzeach? Thank you. Is it fixed? What?
Down.
Okay, great.
I'm just going to give a little bit of time.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, did somebody really call it in from here? Hard to believe, right?
Yeah,
what?
Really
I know, I really should get him. Yeah. Much harder there than it is here. Yeah. So, what is the Kesef Mishnah saying? Dalad Yud Beis? Or Dalad whatever? Is it up there? What? Yeah. So, this was noted by some of the later Mepharshim, but, you can't have it both ways, right? So, getting back to the point, which is that the Ran was of the opinion, the Ran says that we pass, again, the Rajba says the Davar Pashut, and so does the Tosis Rid, that we paskin Likula. And the Ran says that the Rif and the Rambam paskin the Kumra. As far as the Rif is concerned, as I say, only if you assume these nafkaminas, which actually the Ran himself doesn't necessarily either. the Rambam, you can see where he gets it from, because we're in the sugya in Avodah Zarah Moridim Velamalin, that is the formulation of the Rambam. But what we're trying to show is that, you know, all things being equal, right, when you look at the Rambam, aside from Hilchos Rotzeach, mostly, we'll see if there's anything else. Avodah Zarah is a little bit tricky, too. There seems to be a stira in the Rambam whether or not tshuva, you know, is conceivable, whether tshuva is conceivable for a mumer lahachis. Also a tricky issue. Yeah. The Rambam and Hilchos tshuva, perikimel halacha tes, you know, seems to say that there is tshuva. And certainly that Rambam sounds that way in Hilchos Maaser Karbanos and Shgagos. Right, again, Mishnah Melech discusses, you know, whether or not tshuva will help in this particular case for the Korban, but the idea that he can do tshuva certainly is clear. And then there's a strange Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Anybody have that? Perek Beis Halacha Hey, where he says that apikorsim and ovrim lahachis, right? That they don't have tshuva. Anybody have that? Yeah, go ahead. This is a tough one. I'm not sure the answer. I'll tell you what I think a little bit, but as opposed to, and what is Zayin Hachos Tshuva? Gimel Tess? And I already mentioned Maaser Karbanos and Shgagos, you know, make it clear that he has tshuva, just whether it helps with this particular korban, correct? But in tshuva itself, Gimel Tess, same run. He definitely speaks about there be that this tshuva. Correct? You have it? Right, the whole point is that these are the categories of tshuva. Right. The Kesef Mishnah is bothered by it. Kesef Mishnah has a suggestion which, again, people pile on because it just doesn't seem to be factually correct. Kesef Mishnah says that in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam's not talking about, you know, somebody whose level of minus or apikarsus is ke avodah zara. You know, we're talking about different apikarsin. And the difficulty that the, you know, those who react to it is that it's makhish nevua, makhish nevua sashom al shabenu, you know, all those kind of things which seem to qualify. Some people think that maybe the distinction is whether you act on your apikorsis, or it's just, you know, abstract apikorsis. That Hilchos Avodah Zarah is when you act on it. Also very difficult. Maybe there's a line in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, at least in terms of Lahakas part, maybe there's a couple of extra words that are an opening, namely? Yeah. Meaning, not only, you know, is he a mumar lahachis, but in that particular halacha we find a formulation that we don't find elsewhere, you know, that he's so brazen, you know, that he denies that what he's doing is an aveir. Okay. You know, typically mumar lahachis is, you know, a moraid, right? But he's also not claiming
you know, that he's not doing an Aveira. He's just proud of the Aveira. He's like a principled Avarian. I guess who's more principled? Which Avarian? The one who says it's not an Aveira? Does it intentionally, but says it's not an Aveira? Or the one who says it's an Aveira, but I'm doing it anyway? I guess what you mean by principled, right?
It's actually honest.
I mean the...
one says it's an Aveira.
Who admits it's an Aveira and does it anyway, he's more intellectually honest. I get that. He has more integrity, you know.
Says he's better.
What?
The Nitzav says he's better, but for more pragmatic reasons.
Yeah, so some people also say that this might be a pragmatic thing, meaning he's never... the guy who doesn't admit that he's a chote, he's never going to do tshuva. So it's more not that tshuva's withheld from him, let's say, as much as it is that, you know, there's no pathway to tshuva because... you know, the first step is always hakara sachet, and that, you know, he can't even start the process, right? That's, I think, what he says. But if it's something, you know, more than that, it could be that it's a different level. As you say, it's a, you know, it's an intellectually, you know, dishonest, you know, mumar lahakis, and maybe that's just even more offensive, because the other one at least is acknowledging, you know, that there's a system that he is stomping on, right, or rebelling against. This one is like dismissing the whole thing or kind of, you know, making himself like his own sovereign. You know, the Rabbanu Shalom doesn't even have the right to create a system. Okay, so that might be the answer. Either way, without going into more detail, yeah.
Yeah, I thought maybe the Kabbalah was not true, but maybe it sounds like it might be about the community accepting.
Yeah, that's also possible. I mean, how those tshuvas he gets and the... right, and the other thing I was going to mention. Thank you. Now, but Azar, it sounds like whether the community accepts him as a Baal Tshuva, right, or as somebody else potential Baal Tshuva. So whether I think, and it might be that these are overlapping ideas. In other words, what the, you know, the question of acting or not acting, especially the diuk of, you know, again the intellectually dishonest mumar lahakis, as well as, you know, whether we're talking about kamish maya galya. And, you know, Knisa Liolam Abba, or we're talking about whether the community can forgive him, you know, this kind of a breach. But either way, there is an issue, there's a problem. On the whole, I would say the consensus impression in the Rambam, you know, in terms of min versus mumar, mostly, is that mumar lahakis belongs with mumar l'tayavo as a mumar. Again, the one time... like the biggest time where the Rambam calls him a min, actually, interestingly, is in the sugya of Avodah Zarah about Moridin. Maybe because he understood that when the Gemara says Sami Mikan, you know, whatever it is, Mumar, and they have to be min, maybe Rambam understood that a little bit differently than everybody else. I mean, he understood that to mean that Legabe, the din of Moridin, specifically, he's a min. Yeah. And he means more to contrast it. Somebody want to add one more sentence. And he means more to contrast it, right, with Mumar. In other words, where he, you know, is mostly comfortable, you know, either that Mumar L'Tavon and Mumar L'Hachis are the same, like in Maisa Karbanos and Shkagos, you know, or whether or not, but it's for technical reasons, like Bodek Sakin, you know, in Shchita, etc., or some of the distinctions when it comes to Ilchus Tshuva, right? You know, so there, he can still use the expression, you know, Mumar, you know, whether the contrast is obvious or on the contrary, you know, he's trying to emphasize that they share in common, because since he thinks Mumar L'Tavon is a God of Russia. But in Moridin, maybe, what he's saying is that there's another element in Lahachis, or Legabe, that's the one where he's most uncomfortable distinguishing between Lahachis and L'Tayavon. And that's where he's saying, well, the Lahachis Mumar, you know, has some minus, you know, as well. I mean, there's a merit component that doesn't exist, you know, a more explicit merit component that doesn't exist in Tayavon. And, you know, he has that element. He's not a min Legabe, you know, call it Tarakula, per se, you know, but he's a min regarding this. Yeah.
Yeah, just back to the Rambam, I thought that he's referencing, he uses this language to say that Mishnah Shlachas, he says that that's Harizim Mechal Hashem. So I thought you were saying that this idea of the same Nefesh, which Omer and Shem is that Avon, that has the status of more than just Omer Lachas and Mechal Hashem. Someone's Mechal Hashem, there's not a tshuva for Mechal Hashem.
I mean, the Mechalas Hashem is, again, this kind of intellectual
lahakas. Exactly. And then for Chil Hashem, there is no tshuva.
Good. So you want to piece that together with what he says in the Sotah Torah.
And that's only
how
he ever uses that language.
That language. Same, excellent. Okay, I didn't notice that, but that's the one in the Sotah Torah is with regard to Shemos. Mechal Shem.
There he's talking about Chil Hashem.
Yeah. What's the number there?
That's in
Hey
Yud,
when he talks about Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem. Okay, very good. I didn't notice that, but that works in very nicely with what we're with what we're saying. Okay, so that in terms of the Rambam, just to sum up, the Ran, who I think in the sugya was, the Ran has this perspective on the riff of the Rambam. You know, the riff, I think it's very questionable. As far as the Rambam, you understand where he gets it from. It's the language of Nechus Ratzayah. And what we're adding to the mix is that the Rambam is all over the place talking about this topic. In Rotzeach, and in Tfilin, and in Shchita, and in Shgagos, and in Maitzah Karbanos, and in Avodah Zarah, and in Tshuva, and so on. And that if you look at the bigger picture in the Rambam, while there are some difficulties, mostly he actually thinks that Lahach is a mumar. In language, for sure, mostly, and also in substance. Again, it's consistent with, his severe outlook on Litei Avon. But of course, there's still differences between Litei Avon and Lahachis, and one of the big ones certainly is Moridin. That's where he emphasizes that there's a Tzad Minus as well. And then, I think that helps explain some of the other phenomena. And in terms of Rotzeach and Tshuva, we have the suggestions that we made, both in terms of language and Asher's suggestion and Natan's suggestion, but connecting it to Yesodia Torah. These aren't just terutzim to questions. Obviously, what this shows is that in the different categories or applications of the issue of Avaryanim, that that it's very, very subtle and nuanced. It depends what the category, itself is going to require, etc. Okay, so that is in terms of that aspect of Lahakis. And then finally, just a couple of other things before we finish. Again, I thought we'd just talk about Azara today, but hopefully we'll start that next time. Okay, one second. We discussed the Srid. I just want to make sure I'm not leaving anything big out. Okay, the Rambam. The Bahag. The Meiri in Horios. Yeah, this one more thing that I wanted to mention, and that is the question of Durabanans. Oh. So the Meiri in Horios, takes on the question, and we'll discuss this more, but I want to put it in context also of Mumin al-Barzar and Mumin al-Chavos al-Shabbos, right? But the question that, is based on the Gemara in Horios, and that is, Mumin al-Hachis, right, does it matter, whether the Isser is Rabbanan or Dorais? Okay, in general, this is an interesting and important question, to ask across the board, right? In the Teyavon, in the various Lahakases, or Lahakasai, right? In Mumin L'Avodah Zarah, in Mumin L'Chalos HaShabbos, in Mumin L'Kol HaTorah Kula, if that's a separate category. But there are several interesting questions to ask across the board. One of them is, something which we have to talk about, and that's how many times do you have to violate to, deserve that, that status, or to achieve that status. You don't want to, but to negatively achieve that status.
Right? One time, two times, three times. And is there a difference between Mumla Tiabon, Mumla Hachis, you know, Mumla Barazara, Mumla Chalas HaShabbos, Mumla Chalas HaRakula, or not? And if so, does it reflect that they work in different ways? Right? Some things have to do with the Ma'isa Aveira, other things have to do with a pattern of merit. Or maybe it's more, you know, a quantitative trade-off, as we said, between the Chomer HaIsur, the Derech HaMered, the amount of times. Hard to know. But that's one question. And the second question is the question of tshuva. Right? Will tshuva, let's say in Karbanos at least, you know, work, you know, for that Aveira itself? That's a Mishnah Melech issue. Right? You did an Aveira, and let's say you did an Aveira Mumba L'Tayavon or Mumba L'Haches, right? And now you did tshuva. Right? When we say that Rambam Paskins that you're mufka from a korban bosa davar, right, does that mean, you know, that the even if you do tshuva now, because when you were an avarian you weren't in that state? Or no, there is tshuva now. Right? Tosis in Chulin, Heyamid Beis, our Tosis, the asks about Zevach Rishoyim Toeva, makes it clear. Right, that's the story. That mikem below kulchem, or whatever it is, or me'am ha'aretz, you know, below kolam ha'aretz, right? That these dinim don't apply. There's no tshuva. You know, zevach rishon to'eva is a problem when you didn't do tshuva. But if you did tshuva, you know, there would be no impediment to bringing a korban, unless the impediment is lo shav midiaso mikem me'am ha'aretz, etc. So with regard to that question, where Tosis takes a stand, right, that's the big massive Mishnah Melech, is there a difference, this is one of the things I'm trying to think about, is there a difference between the various Mumrim, Mumr L'Teyavon, Mumr L'Hakis, I say Mumr L'Avarazara, Mumr L'Shabbos, etc. Okay? That's a second question, in addition to how many times do you need to violate. And a third question, there are probably more, across the board, is in the violations that we are speaking of, you know, of what, I guess, quality do they need to be? So, for example, what about, you know, derabbanans? And what about what we would call, let's say, kind of abizrayus? So, for example, in Mumr L'Chalas HaShabbos, this is the big, big issue. Right, Mumr L'Chalas HaShabbos Parhes is a Mumr L'Chol HaTorah Kula. Only if he violates Malachos. What if he violates Mechamer or Shvisas Behema? That's Essen and Lavin. You know, there aren't the Lamates Avos Malacha. Right, he's an inveterate scoffer when it comes to, you know, Kiddush and Abdullah, our big topics for next year. Right. So. What about that? And what about Drabbanans? Right? He's a Mum L'Hachis, you know, or a Mum of Farhesia on Drabbanans. So they're an interesting question. But what about the same question, you know, in Mum L'Teyavon? Right? What about Oso Davar, at least? Let's say he violates, you know, Kashrus, laws, Drabbanan, but not, you know, Doraisa. Is he... Do we need Bodek Sakin, you know, for on the Doraisa level too? Or Lahakis? So on the Lahakis, we have evidence. What's the evidence? Shalom, what's the evidence? Here? Yeah. On Mum Lahakis. Gemara Horios, maybe. What about Kelayim Drabanan? Right? The Gemara says, what if you're a Mumr L'Hachis on Kelayim Drabanan? Right?
It's not clear that that's L'Hachis.
No?
Is that a debate in the Shoner whether that case is with the Elgar L'Hachis? It depends whether he's arguing on the Ration of the Seifel.
Oh.
The Ration is supposed to
Oh, okay. Could be. Okay. Either way, so we have that debate.
We have the debate about Kilayim. I think most people think it's Lahatkas, no?
I think Rashi is supposed to rush the deed, whether...
Oh, that's Rashi and Tosa Rush?
Oh,
the Rama that he quotes. Ah, correct. Okay. Either way, that's an important makar, correct? So the Meiri has a comment where he says, yeah, we'll discuss more fully anyway. Meiri has a comment where he says that Kilayim Durabanan, he understands Mom Lahakas, I think most of them do, that Kilayim Durabanan shiny, but the rule is, when it comes to Mom Lahakas, that you need to be a Doraisa. Right, that a Durabanan does not establish you as a Mom Lahakas. Okay? What's the difference of Kilayim? What's the Yichus of Kilayim? Interesting. He says, Pirsum. Right, the Isra of Kilayim, Durabanan, is very Mefursum. That's not a substantive comment. Right? Clearly, that means that the question of how, what Chomer HaIsur you need to violate goes into the mix in a quantitative way for the merit. And very much Olamad Dover Dome, like we were talking about, you know, the idea before, you know, that Yayin Nesach, you know, even L'Tayavon, you know, is merit. He didn't say because of Avodah Zarah. Right? He said because of merit. So Pirsum is a factor, according to the Meiri, in merit. But otherwise, it's not a din in Drabbanans per se. But that's not at all Bukhrach and the Gemara. So this is an interesting other question, in addition to the Tshuva question and the Regilus question, you know, to try to test across the board, you know, maybe you'll be Mechalik between Avodah Zarah, you know, and Shabbos, or Avodah Zarah and Shabbos and Lahachis, you know, or Lahachis and L'Tayavon. Again, we can't pin it all down. Right. But you have to just be careful because in that analysis, right, it could be a quantitative thing as well. That's a complicated. And the Meiri is a good example of that. The Meiri is saying that a factor like Pirsum, you know, weighs or you know, changes, you know, it affects the scales here. Yeah.
Is it even really true that Pirsum should play a role here? Because nobody knows that you're wearing this line.
No, but what he's saying is that it's for the Avarian, I think.
He doesn't know that he'll be exposed.
No. But I mean, what he's saying is, meaning to him, I think it's very similar. I think what the Meiri means, I could be wrong, is very similar to what I was trying to explain about the later poskim saying, well, Bismanenu, you know, a mumala teyavon in Shchita, it wouldn't be enough to do bodek sakin, you know, because the taboo, let's say, of eating, you know, non-kosher meat, you know, l'teyavon, you know, in our time, no longer, you know, qualifies for that. I think that's what this Meiri is kind of saying as well. For people to violate, you know, kilayim d'rabbanan, you know, also takes a lot of chutzpah in terms of their knowing of it. Now, you're saying, oh, but maybe it's not, you know, him looking in the mirror, it's him caring or not caring about what other people think. It's an interesting question. But I don't think that's what the Meiri is. Okay. Anyways, yeah. Okay. So that, I still want to speak a little, just a few more minutes next time about the Magen Avraham and the Rabbi Gedeger, quickly about the, you know, question of Sefer Torah. But mostly I want to focus our attention now on Mumel Avodah Zarah, Mumel Kala Torah Kula, and Mumel Kala Shabbos. Okay? And hopefully we'll finish up in the next couple of days, and then we can still do, we have to talk about the Ola and the Mishnah Lamelech, and we still have to talk about Tachlif, you know, Chilufei or Tachlifei Isuri Hana, and then we'll move on to the Sugas of Bab and Zayin. Not here.
What's really not so important?
In the early 10s.
Rebbe have something?